Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Over the weekend, two women had separately alleged that police officers had sexually harassed them when stopped at roadblocks. Now, one of the women said she received an unsolicited text message after the encounter, and the other said that she was asked to expose herself in order to avoid being fined. According to Bukit Aman's Integrity and Standards Compliance Department, one of the policemen had since been moved to administrative tasks while investigations are underway. Now, we contacted PDRM and also the Office of the Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, but received no commitment that no confirmation that they would come on the show. So let me introduce to you our first guest we have on the line now, women's rights activist Ivy Josiah, who was a member of the 2004 Royal Commission to Enhance the Operation and Management of the Royal Malaysia Police. Ivy, good evening. Now, given your work with the RCI on the police, how would you describe their attitudes towards issues of gender in their policing practices? I'm wondering whether there is gender sensitivity training for police officers, for instance.
Well, you know, most institutions will deny that there is a gender sensitivity issue within the work culture, whether it's the private or public sector, even Parliament. It took many, many years before Parliament included a standing order that said that they should not have offensive and sexist remarks. It was only in 2012. So when it came to the police, of course, not only in my experience in the RCI, but just general experience from the 80s working with the police, they're very reluctant to admit that police officers were indeed insensitive, and that they did sexually harass complainants and suspects. And but I have to say that when we did give them evidence during the RCI, during the Royal Commission inquiry, we gave them evidence that suspects complained about sexual harassment, suspects, female suspects that is, complained about how they were strip searched, they were asked to just completely go naked, including taking out the underpants in front of other detainees. And migrant workers and female refugees were all sexually assaulted. When we showed them all these cases and showed a pattern, it wasn't just one bad cop. They did admit, yes, we must have gender sensitivity training. In fact, we do. They occasionally call on the women's groups to come in and do some training, but it's one-off training. It's not sustained. And so even in our report, in the Royal Commission report, they do say, yes, we must have. But Melissa, saying is one thing and doing is another. You see, to date, we do not know whether the Inspector General standing orders, does it send out a very clear directive that police officers must conduct themselves in a professional manner, must not use the powers that they have to sexually harass the public? I mean, is it in writing? Because the IGSO in Malaysia is a confidential document. We don't know what is in there. Whereas if you go to UK or Australia or Canada, the IGSO, the standing orders, are public documents.
So Ivy, I want to ask you about this other maybe dimension of the problem that isn't about clearly what is criminal activity. I mean, if a police officer sexually assaults somebody, that's just criminal activity, right? But what about the question of how the police force, and I'm assuming it's overwhelmingly male, deals with issues of domestic violence and rape and sexual harassment in terms of how they treat women? What are the assumptions they make about women or their relationship to men?
Definitely, you're saying how they treat these complaints, right, on domestic violence and rape. But yeah, definitely, not only during the time of my commission, during my time with the Royal Commission, but during my time in WAO, which is well over 15, 20 years, even till today, there'll always be there's consistent issues around officers being insensitive. A lot has improved. I must say, during the 20 years and 30 years of my activism, from the time I started in the 80s till now, at least now they admit domestic violence is a problem. But usually, they regard the complainants as somehow it's your fault. You know, what were you wearing? You know, that you still get those remarks. And right. The police officers do admit that it's an issue. At least now they're open to admitting that there is an issue. But like I said, is there a sustained gender awareness program? Is there a standing order specifically saying that they must respect the rights of women? We don't know.
And Ivy, without that, are you saying that without that, there could be a bigger, more systemic problem at play here rather than just, you know, a few bad apples?
Exactly. I think it's very important it should be the IGSO. Of course, there should also be you know, an independent police commission, you know, that would also balance it out. We must always, you see, when you're sexually harassed by a police officer, you are going to the police to say, please investigate yourself, right? I mean, this can be an issue, this can be a problem. And there's a perception issue that, you know, that the police may not do a good, thorough job. Although, you know, the director of GIFS have said they will be transparent and thorough. I think the Independent Police Commission will also help, but I certainly think a standing order. The police are very obedient when it comes to IGSOs. When you give them an IGSO, they do respect this order. So it must come from the top that they do not tolerate, they will not tolerate sexual harassment.
And okay, do we have a problem then with what men in the force might consider sexual harassment? Whereas, you know, clearly in the issue of the custodial rape of a 16-year-old in Miri, you know, that was perhaps a very clear clear case of violating all kinds of standards, including, you know, the question of criminality. But what about the issue of flirting at a checkpoint, taking the number down of somebody and then saying, oh, you know, I'd like to get to know you? Is that something that is of a cultural, you know, sort that needs to be worked through? I mean, it's not a clear-cut violation in the minds of some men.
Absolutely. I think most men, whether they are in the police force or whether they are in other you know, other sectors too, tend to use the power that they have. I mean, we've got complaints against doctors, we've got complaints against you know, people in the public service. They tend to use the power that they have, and if they see a customer in front of them, in this case, you know, a woman driver, they will tend to use the power that they have. I mean, this is not specific to the police. I think this is a male culture. Sexism is in almost every part of the world. You know, every part. Sexism is existing in many, many institutions, in all work cultures. So there are two levels. But when it comes to the police, one is their professional conduct. And again, you have to really unpackage what do you mean by professional conduct. Professional conduct includes non-sexist behavior. The other part is how do you treat female complainants. When a woman goes to the police station and makes a complaint, writes a complaint, of course, these days you have more police, female police officers who do the investigation. But, you know, but even female police officers can be sexist, can be insensitive.
Ivy, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We really do appreciate your insights. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but there's still so much to discuss on this matter, so make sure you stay tuned.